We welcome to the breakfast table Anil Mathai. He's the chairman of the Adams County Republican Party. And it's really great to have you in studio. We didn't even know about you. You found out about us at the Dr. David Jeremiah event that was here recently. So welcome to the table, and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, first of all, good morning, and thank you so much for allowing me to come. Praise God for what you're doing. That's the first thing, is we need to get the gospel out, not of Christ, out to the world. I was so pleased to see who the sponsors were when David Jeremiah came last week to Tuesday, I think it was, at the Pepsi Center, and your radio station was one of the sponsors, and his message was very clear. We've been to his church before in San Diego, outside San Diego, and my wife and I and the kids, and the message was very clear. Stand up. It was using Daniel chapter 6 as a reference of when Daniel went into the lion's den, and he didn't. Though the laws changed, he didn't change.
Right.
He continued to worship the Lord no matter what. Same situation here. I am an engineer. I have an MBA. That's kind of my day job here. But we came out to Colorado a couple years ago. We were initially planning to go to India to teach at a seminary there, leadership. I also have a master's in divinity. But God changed the plans. We came here in late 2010. And about 2 years later, I had this urging to get involved in politics. I'm like, politics, you know, my heart is missions
and
evangelism. And I am now, after a couple years of being involved in politics, I'm the chairman of the Adams County Republican Party. And
that's pretty huge. I mean, and so how did that happen? Because, I mean, that's a lot of responsibility.
Yeah, so what happened was in January of 2012, I had this urging, and I clearly think it came from the Lord, to go to a local meeting. Up in the northern part of Westminster, went to a local meeting, and then I had the sense to run for the national delegate spot. It's very difficult to do that. You need years of contacts and networks, and you need money and those kind of issues. But I really felt the Lord said, run for it. So I ran through the county, got involved at the congressional, got promoted to the congressional district. This was, you know, basically you're running your own election. And then somehow in Congressional District 7, which is this area, they had three spots and 250 people running. And at the end of the night, my name came in number two behind Pete Coors.
Oh, wow.
So, of course, everyone knows that name
sure.
in Colorado.
Yeah.
Anil Mathai, who in the world is that?
Well, we mentioned it's really big, and people think you were sharing a little bit before we came on air about how big it is. Local politics is really big, you were saying.
It is very huge. I mean, we homeschool our children, but we also pay taxes. And, you know, there are materials. Who you put in leadership, if they're not walking with the Lord, they're going to share their values. And if it's not biblical, it's going to be anti-biblical.
That's right.
And
that's right.
Local politics is very huge. Everyone looks at 2016, and even within the party level, I say, no, don't focus on 2016. Focus on 2015. It's not really about Republicans or Democrats. It's really about, to me, godly people and moral leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And local politics is huge. This year we have city council races and school boards. School boards affect the children that's still in the public school system. And if we don't have godly leaders there, they're going to have ungodly leaders setting up policies that are going to destroy them spiritually, in my view. So Christians need to stand up. I think overall, if I have my numbers right, we have about 60 million evangelicals in the United States. Half of them are registered. That's 30 million. Half of them actually vote, 15 million. Now, that's 15 million out of an electoral population of 125 actual million voters. That's 10%. And so it is important that Christians stand up. And we have elections coming up in November at the local level. And please look for godly leaders.
So that could be almost 50% if everybody.
That's
math
correct.
Right there?
That's correct. If every Christian was registered, you potentially could, across the United States, you could potentially affect at least 50%. And the other 50% would easily follow with any godly leader. Whether someone's saved or not, they want someone they can trust.
Sure.
And
sure.
I think the most important thing in relationships are trust.
Well, one of the things that Dr. David Jeremiah said is at his church, which you said you were there to visit, they set up registration in the foyer.
Yes.
How does that work? I was trying to picture how that works. Can any church do that?
Yeah.
You have to register with the county or something?
No. So they're in Colorado. You go to a website called Go Vote Colorado, which is controlled by run by the Colorado Secretary of State's office, which runs elections in across the state. At the county level, here in Adams and in Jefferson and every county, so there's 64 in Colorado, you go to your county to register. Or you can do it online. It all works together.
Okay.
And churches can register their congregants in the church. There is this notion that when you're a 501c3 that you can't stand up for biblical values. That's a lie. There's a group called Alliance Defending Freedom.
Sure.
That clearly will defend pastors. And the thing is, whether you're 501c3 or not, God's word trumps everything. And we're living in a time where we need to stand up for the word of God, consistent with David Jeremiah said.
I would think that'd be a great thing for a church to do because, okay, you have your Democrat table, your Republican table, your independent or whatever. I mean, you just want people to register.
To get involved in the process.
And what a play. Where do you find Christians? Well, in church, hopefully.
Well, the thing is, there really is no Democrat or Republican table. It's just a voter registration.
Okay, just voter Republican.
And,
okay,
and
there you have it.
On the voter registration form, you decide what party you want to be.
Okay, gotcha.
I've been voting Republican since I was 18. I grew up in Philadelphia. I understood politics. My wife's from New York. But my favorite governor of all time was a Democrat, Irish Catholic person called Robert Casey. It was Casey in 1992 that almost defunded Planned Parenthood through the Supreme Court in the 1992 Casey versus Planned Parenthood. I'm actively involved with the Republican Party because the platform is more aligned with the gospel, I mean with the Bible. But that doesn't say that everybody in the Republican Party is aligned with the Bible.
Exactly.
And so the politics is one area where you can share your faith, you can reach out to your community. But I'm always on my knees praying, Lord, let me never trump your word. Politics never trumps your word. But registration is anyone can register for any party, or they can register it as UAF, unaffiliated. Now, the only problem with the unaffiliated is people who say they're independent. They really are not independent. What happens is you're given candidates through political party processes, and eventually you'll be given candidates and you have no say over them. And politics does not work in November. You don't just go in November and do mail-in ballots or take your mail-in ballot and vote in person. Politics actually starts in January of the election year. That's where you pick candidates. For example, on the other side here in Jefferson County, there was a godly woman running. Christians got involved, and she won the primary, and she is now a state senator. But you have to get early and understand the process.
Right,
and I'd love
right.
to teach that all over different churches, anywhere. Mm-hmm. But I like to teach the Word of God first.
AM 91 time, just about 19 after 7 o'clock. I've got a great discussion going with our guest, Anil Mathai, the Adams County Republican Party chairman.
I'm just so happy to have you at the table. Would you just address, there's a school of thought that says, and I agree with this, that God is in control of all things, and that he's more powerful. The Bible talks about him being more powerful than man and horses and all of that. We are supposed to put our trust in God. But there is a school of thought that says, why should I get out and vote when I know that God's going to put into control who he puts into control? And, you know, what's the point? And talk about that a little bit.
Well, I mean, it's a valid point from a biblical time. God is in full control of our biblical time period and our today's. The question is, we have to be balanced in that statement. There are some that will use that statement as an excuse not to do anything. The Great Commission, Matthew 28:18-20, Jesus was very clear. It wasn't an optional statement. He was a commandment to all believers. That therefore go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all things, and I will be with you until the end of the age. If we are not standing up for the gospel, if we're not standing up for the word publicly, someone else is standing up for their values. And God is in control. I had to wrestle with that's a great question. I had to wrestle with it. Why did God allow Hitler to be in charge of Germany? Why did he allow 6 million Jewish people and 6 million other people be slaughtered? But you have to study the church's history at that time. The German church was not involved in society. They did not give biblical teachings to the people. They got swept away because Germany was under heavy financial persecution from World War I. So the reparations and those kind of issues were just damaging them. But the church didn't stand up. God is in control. He's also given us a commandment very clearly for us to stand up and glorify him throughout this world. And for us to abdicate the position of standing up for biblical values in the public square, basically, I think is a cop-out. It is inconsistent with Scripture. He's going to do what he's going to do. God does not wish for us to be destroyed. Okay, he's a merciful God, loving God, but he's a holy God. He's a righteous God. Repentance, if we come back to repentance, today is Yom Kippur, right? So the Day of Atonement. If we come back to repentance, repentance is every day when we sin, but he's in control, but he's also called us to stand up and be a light. And
right.
At the end of the day, or beginning of day, however you want to call it, he knows what he's doing for his glory.
And we never know how he'll use us. If we don't do something, I mean, if we're just sitting and we're not being used, then that's of no use to God. He likes to use us, and he proves that over and over again through scriptures and even through current day testimonies, our own testimonies. We can all talk about how God has used us in one way or another in our own lives, and if we allow that, if we're open to that.
Totally agree. I mean, look at this. Many Christians have said we don't need to be involved in Hollywood. Recently, the number one movie is a movie about prayer.
Mm-hmm.
It defeated a movie about gang culture in Los Angeles. Okay? That the movie is War Room, and it became number one, defeated Straight Out of Compton. Now, you have to understand society. You have to understand culture. For us to take a step back and just say, God doesn't want me involved, that's unbiblical. God does want us involved, and he wants us to glorify him in every aspect of society.
Mm-hmm. All right. Wonderful. We talked about the idea of registering to vote. There are probably some other things we should talk about. We can do that on the other side of news in more detail, but what would be some other things that we should do as Christians when it comes to politics?
First thing is educate ourselves and our children on the Constitution of the United States. That is the basis of how you deal with government within a local and also state and federal. Now, the state has its own constitution. It's kind of crazy. Every state has their own constitution. It's kind of weird. But educate yourself on the U.S. Constitution. Freedom of religion is a huge issue right now. We have a clerk in Kentucky that went to jail. She followed state law. We have to understand how politics works. We have to be a nation of laws, and what's happening is anarchy, and it's moving fast. And if Christians just want to say, well, God's in control and I'll stay away, you're going to get what you're going to get. The pastors, because a lot of them held their background in the churches and was really afraid of man, afraid of society, the evils come into their doorsteps. How are they going to deal with these issues?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's something we can talk about too. What can and can't or should and shouldn't a church or a pastor do?
Sure.
We are talking at the breakfast table with Anil Mathai. He's the chairman of Adams County Republican Party, and we've touched on a number of different things. But let's talk about pastors now and churches and what the mindset of maybe being a little bit afraid, and let's just kind of leave man stuff with man stuff and we'll take care of God stuff. That kind of...
It's the pastoral role, the pulpit, is a leadership role. And, you know, when we read the scriptures, God holds shepherds accountable. And so we're responsible for teaching. And teaching is huge, not just preaching, but teaching, the discipleship. And the pastors have an important role, and that is to teach their congregants about the Word of God. I mean, you take controversial issues, they don't talk about it too much. For example, at least 25 to 40% of the women who've had abortions come from churches. People don't talk about that. If you talk about sexual immorality and these kind of things, everything's kept generic and at a high
mm-hmm,
level.
Mm-hmm.
And pastors have an important role. They have to teach the Word of God on all issues, so that people understand. Now, it's our responsibility as believers to study above a pastor, study the scriptures. Don't just go to church and, you know, take it as a Sunday Christianity and forget about Christianity Monday to Saturday. We're told to be standing up for the gospel and living it all throughout our lives. So pastors have an important role, and they have no authority to abdicate the influence of society outside the church. And I remember preaching at a church in Westminster a year and a half ago, and I usually, when I preach, I don't want to be invited back. I pull out all the guns, and the title was very clear, "Do you fear man or do you fear God?"
Mm.
And I told the church very clearly from scriptures, when you walk out today, you have to make a decision. If you fear man, you're not going to be worshiping the Lord. But if you fear God, you don't care what anyone has to say. You're going to glorify the Lord through his word. So pastors have an important role. They have to be involved in society. And if they're not involved in society, then basically they're shortchanging their own congregation, because the congregation is going to be influenced. It's like a parent. When you educate your child and teach your mm-hmm. child the Word of God, the Bible says that, train a child in the ways of the Lord, and when he gets old, he will not depart from it. If we don't, as fathers and mothers, teach our children the ways of God, society will teach them something else. And what's happening is congregations are being confused and mixed, and they don't understand. And a lot of people think that, for example, evangelical youth, many of them support homosexual marriage. They have no issues with it.
I've heard those numbers. They're just staggering. I couldn't believe it. Living together before marriage,
yes.
that's accepted now in the church, many churches.
Yeah. Well, you have, the marriage issue. It's switching our churches. Cohabitation, as you had mentioned, is another thing that's a norm. All these things are, God has not ordained any of these activities. And yet the church does not understand because they're not being taught this because pastors don't want to go near controversial issues. Now, some are very busy, but then we have to go back and relook at our whole schedule. And I don't mean to be disrespectful, pastors, but I have a master's in divinity. I could be a pastor if I wanted to, but it's important. What is important? And I think what's important is God's word, and it has to be taught from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. A guy came up to me in 24-hour fitness and said, "I'm a new Christian. It seems like you're Christian. What should I do?" I said, "No matter what, either you stand for all of God's word or none of it."
That's right. That's right.
And so I think pastors have an important role, and they can't be afraid of man anymore. They have to stand up and fear the Lord respectfully. Mm.
Good point. And even to challenge their people to get involved on the local level, like you've been saying, that is really important, illustration being your local school.
Mm-hmm.
If your children are going there, what are they learning? What are they believing? What they heard in church for 1 hour or what they hear in school for 40 hours or whatever.
That's correct. I think what's happening in the church is we have a separatist mentality. I understand the school system is not as great as possible. I mean, we homeschool our own kids, but we pay taxes into the school system, and those children that are in the system are being influenced. Do we want as Christians, even if we're educating our children outside, do we want to influence them for the biblical values or common sense principles, mm-hmm. conservative values, or do we want society to dictate to them? I mean, in California, 5-year-olds are being taught about homosexuality and other things. You know, if there was godly people in those school boards, that wouldn't be happening.
I know. I just couldn't believe it. Some of the things that I'm reading now, I think, okay, I've seen the worst, but then there's something else that comes along, too, in terms of teaching our children. Hitler said, all I need is a generation of your children. That's all I need.
That's right.
Is one generation of mm-hmm. your children, and I can change the world.
And Hitler also said, I don't care, to the churches, I don't care what you teach inside the church, don't take it outside.
Mm-hmm.
We're hearing that now.
Yeah.
Worship in private, but don't do it in the marketplace, which is not illegal. I mean, you can worship in.
Of course.
I mean, who could stop you from worshiping? Okay, don't be obnoxious about it, but...
Yeah. Respectful. Loving.
But that's what we're saying. It's important to stand for our faith. We cannot be afraid not to stand up for our faith. And it doesn't mean that we have to gather the placards and mm-hmm. our rakes and pitchforks and go down to City Hall and start, protesting. But it does mean if we're challenged... And if our rights are challenged as Christians, and especially God's law against man's law, then we have got to stand for God's law, or we're not standing for anything.
That's right.
You know, don't speak politics or religion at work. Okay, we do have breaks. We have lunch. You're with this person 40 or 50 hours a week. If they have a problem, hey, let's go to lunch. Let's talk.
You're allowed to have your Bible at work.
That's correct. Well, in New Jersey, when I was working for Sharing Paul, a 55,000-member company, I led Bible studies at lunchtime. That was the ministry God told me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you're welcome to do that. I mean, you have to be respectful. You're getting paid for the work that you're doing.
Yes.
But during your
right.
break times
yeah.
that are free, you're allowed to
mm-hmm.
Do it before work, after work. That's up to that's your time that the Lord will ordain.
Thanks for being with us. Anil Mathai is with us. By the way, if you've missed any of this conversation, it will be on As Heard On a little bit later on our website, am91.org. You just go to As Heard On, and you'll be able to hear this conversation. We'll keep it up there like we do most things for a long, long time. It certainly is worth listening over again to some of the sound advice, I think, that we're hearing this morning from Anil. Where is your heart in terms of if you were talking to God's people right now, and you are, what would you want God's people to know about what our responsibility is and what you see in the future? Just anything that's on your heart right now that God's given to you.
Well, I would say to the God's people that my fellow brothers and sisters that really it's not about politics. I don't really care too much about the politics per se other than the word of God first. You know, we're all going to get... persecuted in some fashion. Let's just deal with it. The Bible didn't say if you're going to get persecuted. Christ said very clearly when you're going to get persecuted. But I think we've built this environment by our not being influencing society for biblical values. Now, God is in control. He takes care of everything. But I would ask the believers to stand up and not fear man. You know, if we're fearing man, then that means there's something deeper inside our hearts that we're worshiping, and that's idolatry according to the second commandment. You know, the first four commandments of the Ten Commandments are all about God, and the next six is all about your neighbor, starting with your mother and father, the fifth commandment. If we study the Ten Commandments, if we study the Constitution helps us from a government point of view. The Ten Commandments and all the scriptures helps us from a believer's point of view. We need to stand up. We need pastors to stand up. We need people to lead. Even if people are afraid, when they see other people take an attack or they step up, their spines start to have that steel rod within them. I just finished reading a book about a Turkish martyr, Nesettin Aydın. His wife actually, they've got asylum. She lives down in the southern part of Denver here. But he was witnessing and he was teaching the Bible in Turkey. The book is called Faithful Unto Death. And he was and he gave his life up, even though the people that he was teaching, he loved them so much for the Lord that they came in and stabbed him and killed him and disemboweled him. The worst way you could die, but him and two other people did die. They were martyrs, meaning that they died. They were witnesses. That's the Greek term. We have to stand up. We can't be afraid. If we're afraid, then evil will win. Satan will win. We're dealing not with people. We're dealing with principalities and darkness. So what I'm telling the churches and the pastors especially is to stand up. There is really sometimes you don't get a second chance to stand up. We don't stand up as believers. Our children and grandchildren are set up for major problems down the road. Taking it back to governmental issues, we are at an $18 trillion debt right now. And 60 trillion unfunded liabilities that we can't pay back. We are setting ourselves up to fall as a nation, spiritually first. And that when you fall spiritually, everything else is going to come in line. It's not about economics. And some people talk about, just talk about fiscal problems. We don't need to talk about social issues. No, you need to talk about social issues because the government is paying for all the social issues. And as I said, you're being hypocritical. So it's time for the church to stand up. Study the scriptures. I tell the church, either you stand for Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, all of it or none of it. You can't pick and choose and make your own Jesus Christ. That's illegal. That's unbiblical. And so stand for the gospel. Stand up. It is time that the church stands up like never before. I run into people who grew up in church. I grew up in church. But they're so afraid to go outside and do anything. I'm like, then you need to check your heart and ask, why are you afraid? I really don't care what happens. I mean, I've been to Islamic countries passing out Bibles when I was single. I've been in New York City and different places. We can stand up, we can be a light, but God is not asking us to sit on the sidelines anymore. In Revelations, it talks about either being hot or cold, and he spits a lukewarm church out. It's the time is now to stand up, like never before.
Wow, great thoughts. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that. Anil Mathai is the chairman of the Adams County Republican Party, and he sits at the table with us this morning. And you'll hear those words again if you want to go to our website under As Heard On. What a pleasure and a delight to have you in. I hope you come back. We'll invite you back.
Anytime.
Okay.
That's
great.
Thank you so much to all of you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Good to have Anil with us in one of our resources here as believers.